You're listening to High Vibe Mindset, where entrepreneurs Aaron Smith, a sports physician assistant, and Melissa Smith, an intuitive eating dietitian and mindset coach, dive into all the juicy details of business, relationships, health, science, and spirituality. Now let's dive in.
Today we have a very special guest, Daniel Mangina. After receiving a late diagnosis of Asperger's and experiencing what can only be described as life-shattering trauma at the age of just 20, Daniel spent the next 7 years struggling to keep these revelations and events from spilling into every area of his life. As a result of his struggles, Daniel built a simple four-step system called the Beyond Intention Paradigm. Initially built as a lifeline grappling with suicidal thoughts, Beyond Intention was born, transforming Daniel's life from misery to celebration. Through his own struggles, Daniel found a path to lasting joy and purpose, and he wants nothing more than to share the tools that saved his life. To that end, he lives by this mission statement: to spearhead an evolutionary uplift in universal consciousness by awakening people to the importance of their unique role. By way of a deep and often ignored or undervalued passion defined as their dream, through his motivational speech, Daniel shares his vision of empowerment and joy. His books, Do It With Dan, podcast series, regular blogs, published articles, and worldwide workshops have helped thousands of people across the globe. His prolific work recently earned him a spot on the Wall Street Journal as a master of success.
You're a podcaster, speaker, and author of the books Stepping Beyond Intention, The Money Game, From Time to Time, and The Dreamer's Manifesto. And you're known as the Dreamer CEO and have the tagline, Dream with Your Eyes Wide Open, which I love. So what is the dream for you and what is your mission?
The whole concept of dreaming was an interesting one because it really came from the first level of this was the whole parallel between lucid dreaming and reality. That's where it originally started to come from. It wasn't even the big idea thing. It was really the esoteric dance. I don't know if you've ever read the book Dream Yoga by Andrew Kolacek, where he really goes into the mysticism behind the whole dreamscape. I'm also a certified instructor in a modality called reality transurfing, where they again speak about dreams not as these things where we're just recycling thoughts, but actually our soul experiencing in other dimensions, other parallel experiences. When we look at the power that we have over our reality that's when we're in the dream space, then we start to really delve into what quantum physics is showing us about the possibilities about our walking reality. It was like, wow, okay, what if we could lucid dream with our eyes open? How would we live our lives if we're coming from that space? And off the back of it, the entry level sort of vanilla thing is, oh yeah, dream big and take some action. But when we really dive into it, it's looking at just how much dominion we really have over our lives if we could just start to play around like we're playing in a lucid dream.
I love where this is going. And lucid dreaming is something that I did when I was young and then kind of forgot about it. And I was recently listening to a podcast with the lucid dreaming expert. And like that night, I was like, he gave all these tips and steps of how you could try to lucid dream. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll try to do that maybe one day when I have time. And then I had a lucid dream that night. And I'm like, this is so crazy and so powerful. So, and I love talking about all things esoteric. So I'm really excited for this.
I find it interesting. We've had a lot of people on the podcast speaking about manifestation and setting goals and you know, really trying to make your thoughts become reality. And I'm kind of new to this, so I'm probably butchering some of that. But I also saw how you take it to the next step. And it's like, you know, you have to take actions. Like you can, it's great to have the vision board. It's great to have all these goals. But one of the examples you use, even if you get to the train station, you buy the ticket, you actually have to get on the train. And so many people focus, I guess, maybe on the basic level, like, yes, have dreams, yes, do this, but it goes beyond that, taking action.
I mean, here's the thing. Recently, I've been quoting something that happened that I saw on Instagram that for me really embodies just the snake oil that's being sold around this beautiful content at the moment. I was on Instagram. It's very important that you recognize I'm on Instagram. And the ad on Instagram said how to get clients for your business on Instagram without using ads.
Yeah, I've seen that. So stupid.
But people are buying into it. Oh my God, I'm going to do that, because we're not really thinking. We're just sort of following these ideas. And even when you go to this whole thing of people that are buying this BS that you're just going to sit around playing computer or knitting or whatever, and your abundance or your health or your relationship or your business success is going to come to you. Someone probably wrote a book and advertised it online or did a PR campaign to sell you the story that you don't need to do anything. People are taking a lot of action to sell the story that you don't need to take any action. And I'm really vehemently sounding a battle cry against that. My next book is going to be called Stop Meditating. I'm writing it at the moment. We're probably going to make it available for pre-order towards the back end of 2021. But yeah, Stop Meditating is really that battle cry that, okay, that's great, right? You've prayed, you've gone to your temple, your church, your synagogue, your mosque, or whatever your thing is, right? You did your meditation. You got your vision board, the same one that you've had for the last 5 years, but we're not going to talk about that. Now let's look at the mindset. Do you even believe that it's possible to receive this thing that you're chanting and you're doing all your stuff for? Do you have worthiness of it? Can you even envision it in your mind's eye so that it can be a part of your reality? And then are you actually exhibiting behaviors and habits that support you creating and keeping this thing? Because if not, even if it does come, it's not going to stay.
Feel like that was such a controversial statement when I first read it, because honestly, when I saw stop meditating and I was like just starting to be really into meditating, I'm like, what is he talking about? But I had to stop myself. I'm like, I've never seen someone say that. So I'm like, I have to see what this is about.
It's really funny because at that point in time, we were having lots of guests talk about manifestation, meditate and all this stuff. And, you know, I think it's great, but I kind of in the same camp with you. I was like, well, it's great, but that's all you do and we don't take action, then there's a problem. So she turned to me. She's like, Aaron, I really think we should interview this guy. I think you'll really like him.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. I was like, what? Stop meditating. Okay, I need to see what this is about. And quickly, you know, I could see just overall message, and I love where it's going. And I 100% agree that we have to look at, are we feeling worthy? Are we taking action? All these things that people kind of skip over or don't talk about and just talk as if we can write a blank check, or, you know, these really weird manifestation tactics.
It was really funny, guys. What was really, really funny, I did a challenge about 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago. We had like 1,400 people on this challenge, right? We're on this video. And I said, and this is recorded live, so there's a recording of this actually happening. I was like, how many of you have got a vision board or a mind movie? Hundreds of people. Me, yeah, I've got one. Yeah, it's like, yeah, yeah. And how many of you have actually seen it consistently do a bloody thing in your life? Crickets. One person tried to argue and say, oh yeah, well, I don't know, has it consistently worked? Because if it doesn't consistently work, then what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Like, if you keep trying to feed yourself and the food's going on the side of your face, you're going to starve to death, right? But we're doing that. We're hitting ourselves on the cheek with the spoon. So I'm so hungry. But we're hitting ourselves on the cheek with the spoon and saying, why isn't this working? Why am I still hungry?
I agree. I definitely think it can be good for motivational purposes to try to remember what your goals are. But you're right. At the end of the day, it doesn't. That in itself doesn't really produce the results that we're striving for.
No.
And with that said, we would love to hear more about on that other side, right? What are the things that we're missing that people are, if they're so focused on meditating or vision boards and all these things, they're totally missing out. And I love that you already brought up lucid dreaming with our eyes wide open. So yeah, if we could hear more about what got you to that realization. Was there a catalyst for you?
Yeah, some very painful catalysts. Thankfully, quite young for me. But I mean, in my book, Money Game, when we talk about Money Game, people get upset with me for a few reasons. First of all, I run around saying, stop meditating. They don't listen to the rest of what I've got to say, but they say that. I've also got a very controversial article that I wrote called Why I Love Donald Trump, which isn't actually about loving Donald Trump, but it's the same thing. People either like love or hate you on the title and don't dig into the content. They're just like, oh, how dare you? Oh, I thought you were my friend. Ah. It's like, well, that's not, read it, you know, read it. Or yes, thankfully someone's standing up for the, no, that's not what I was doing. Like, it's just clickbait. Read it, actually get into it. But with the other thing where people get mad at me is because I focus on teaching people how to create wealth. Well, rich people, this and that and blah, 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 and doodle, blue, no. There are nice rich people and there are, you know, douchey rich people. There are nice broke people and douchey broke people. That's not what the deciding factor is. It's the person themselves. But so people sometimes write off my book Money Game because they're like, oh, I'm spiritual, I don't care about money. But here's the thing. The principles of manifestation don't change based on what you're manifesting. It's still the same principles. It's the same thing. You know, whether you want to call it the universe, God, divine source, whatever, didn't say, oh, okay, let's have a completely different rule book for reality when we're talking about money and a different one for health. It's the same reality, the same sandbox that we're playing in. The cool thing about money, though, is it's tangible, it's measurable, it's quantifiable. If I apply a set of principles to go and manifest $100 or $1,000 and it shows up, I know it works. If it doesn't show up, then something's not working. I can look at what I've done and see if, you know, there's a piece of the puzzle that's not particularly working. Was this momentum up to a point and did it not show up? I can tweak it and get into it. So Money Game, the tool that I created, was really to have a measurable way to manifest something that I've called into existence. Something you can track and see what's working, what's not working. And in the book, I even say, now go and apply this to your relationships. Now go and apply this to your career. And now go and apply it to your business in this way or that. But the reason why I bring that book up is because the question you've asked about what we're missing is broken down very straightforwardly in that book. It's that everything that starts as a thought makes its way into being a part of our world if it follows a path unmolested. Every thought unmolested shows up in our reality. Where are those points of disruption? First and foremost, can we hold the emotional state of that? Why do I say that? Because everything that's non-physical on its journey into physical form is first experienced by us in our bodies through the feeling or emotion of the thing. When people start talking about, oh, a high vibe, what's your frequency? What's your vibe, bro? Like, I'm tuning into the frequency of money. All these poppycock phrases that really just convolute something really simple is, the emotions that you cognitively connect, you personally cognitively connect with the experience, are you able to hold those emotions on a consistent basis? Yes or no? That's it. We can talk about vibe and frequency and all these other things and your past lives and all that. But really, all of that really only matters if it either supports or disrupts your ability to hold the emotional state of it. How did I learn this? When I lost 2 multi-million pound fortunes by the age of 23 years old. As I backtracked and look at what was wrong, one of them was I had grown up in a very conservative Christian home where the idea of having a lot of money wasn't something that was taught. In fact, it was taught it was wrong. So unconsciously imprinted within me is going to be a rejecting, resistant, emotional state to having a lot of money. I hadn't had any experience of it. So my emotional field could make it, but it couldn't hold it. It's exactly like lottery winners. 90% of them go back to exactly where they were within 5 years. One of the reasons why, the other one we'll speak about, is they don't have an emotional field that's able to hold that amount of wealth. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to feel our personal emotions that we relate to the level of wealth or the health or the relationship or the purpose or whatever the thing is. The next thing is this. Our brain physically is wired to filter things out. The reticular activating system in the brain will physically filter things out. If you don't believe something's possible, you literally will not be able to see it. This could be an opportunity. This could be a possibility. It could be the solution to a problem. It could be the problem already solved. Pessimists, exactly the same thing. They're wired to see things a certain way. One sees the glass half full, the other one sees a glass half empty. It's the same glass, but the lens through which the person's looking at it is going to impact that. Our emotions impact the way we think. We have crimes of passion. The law even recognizes that when you're in a certain emotional state, your ability to think with clarity gets disrupted. So those two have this symbiotic relationship. And then when we follow on from there, also what we're thinking impacts our unconscious habits and behaviors. Going back to the other piece, I was 19 years old, maybe 20, I think, when I made my first million. I had no bloody experience. I didn't have the right legal frameworks. I didn't have the right business frameworks. I didn't have money habits. I knew nothing about anything. I was young. I should have been sleeping with girls and drinking beer. That's what I should have been doing, right? I didn't have that experience. Again, lottery winners. I've seen it with my own two eyes. The spending habits, the unconscious giving things, the leakages aren't supportive to actually holding the thing. Meditation, great at setting you up to be in a different emotional state. Meditation, great at supporting you, changing your mindset. Does it do anything to change your unconscious habits and behaviors? It supports the possibility of new habits and behaviors. But if I don't follow through with action that actually is new habits and behaviors, nothing's going to change. I'll feel great. I might even close my eyes and see my beloved or see myself healthy and wealthy. But unless my habits and behaviors change, nothing in my physical reality is going to change.
Are you looking to elevate your client experience to the next level? Whether you're in the wellness, photography, or mental health worlds, imagine the impact of offering your client a truly unique and memorable gift that supports them on a personal level. Introducing the Custom Affirmation Card Decks by Soleia. Our custom affirmation decks are designed to empower and inspire your clients, leaving a lasting impression that strengthens your professional relationship. So picture this: your own branded affirmation cards, beautifully crafted with imagery that reflects your brand's essence. These card decks serve as more than just a gift. They become a daily reminder of your commitment to your client's well-being and success. Whether you're a life coach, yoga instructor, therapist, or photographer, your custom card deck supports your client's personal growth, even when they're not in a session with you. So why settle for generic gifts like candles or pens when you can create something truly transformational and beautiful? With Soleia's custom affirmation cards, you can tailor every aspect to align with your brand identity and the values that you stand for. And this process is easy for you. We do all the heavy lifting from design to ordering. Simply choose your affirmations, select the imagery, and add your logo and branding elements. We'll take care of the rest, delivering a high-quality, personalized product. Join the ranks of leading wellness, photography, and mental health professionals who are elevating their client experience with custom affirmation card decks from Soleia. Visit our website today at soleia.co/custom to learn more and start creating your own unforgettable client gifts. That's soleia.co/custom. And I'll spell it out for you. soleia.co/custom. Together, let's inspire positivity and empower transformation one affirmation at a time.
Mic drop.
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack right there. That's an interesting way to look at it. I've never really thought about it that way, but I can definitely see where you're coming from. How, if I understand correctly, correct me if I misunderstood, that your emotions kind of bottleneck and filter our thoughts. How I'm taking it is that what you can handle emotionally ultimately dictates what thoughts actually become reality.
The way that I juxtapose it, so I've got this little diagram. So the teaching that breaks this down is my teaching called the flow funnel, right? And the way to just summarize all of this is what I'm feeling, thinking, and doing in alignment with what I said I want to create. Mm-hmm. That's simple. Do I have clarity in what I want? And are my feelings, thoughts, and actions aligned or supportive to that or destructive?
My next question I'm definitely going to get. So Dan, we all know, like, let's take eating healthy. We all know eating healthy is good for you. But growing up in the South, you know, fried chicken and other really bad, unhealthy foods, like emotionally, that makes us happy. So how would someone go about changing their emotional capacity to be able to handle the thoughts that we know are good for us and that can hopefully create the goals that we want?
Do you want the real mind fudge, the real noodle baker?
Yeah.
The food isn't what changes you and becomes unhealthy and causes issues in the body. It's the beliefs that it's unhealthy that actually change.
Yes, exactly. I'm an eating disorder dietitian and I agree. We teach it's the emotions. It has nothing to do with the food. And besides, all foods can be healthy.
Healthy or unhealthy. Bruce Lipton did the science on this.
Yeah.
Epigeneticist Bruce Lipton did the science on this. How our body responds to the input depends completely on our beliefs about what it's going to be. There are people that smoke 100 cigarettes a day and live to 100 years old. People that smoke a few here and there and die of cancer. It's not the thing. And when we look at like the nature of reality and how the slowest frequency of energy shows up as physical matter, everything's already happened by the time you get to physical matter. So the beliefs, the thoughts have already happened, the emotions and that frequency already happened. So if you don't hold the emotion that supports being sick, if you don't have a belief system around that food that programs your body to become sick, then it physically cannot have sickness in it.
I had a really weird thought driving to work today, and I was thinking about myself aging and getting gray hair and everything. And I had this thought that my life is so busy and like all my time is blocked out by the calendar and I'm always looking at the clock and I'm observing time constantly. And I was thinking, I wonder what would happen if I observe time less and I'm just kind of more like youthful and in the flow. And instead of being in stress, I wonder if that would kind of pause the aging. Cause I'm like, it's strange when you think about how some people age so much and so quickly, so young, and some people are older and they look more youthful. And I was like, I just had that thought pop in and I was thinking about that. And I'm like, cause it's part of that, right? It's like what we observe, what we think. Like I 100% believe we're always creating our realities through our beliefs or through our actions. That was something I was thinking about today too. Like if I'm feeling really stressed out and tired and and everything, and like it's affecting me, then I have that ability to change my schedule or take care of myself or figure out ways to block more time to not obsess about, I only have this much time left, to just kind of relax.
Mm. They call it Einstein time. I first heard that phrase in Gay Hendricks' book, The Big Leap, I think it's called. And he speaks about Einstein time. And yeah, even when you look at aging is simply the process of the telomeres in our DNA strands stopping replicating and growing. And so as a cell stop replicating and growing, we start to see things age, like the grain of hair is the death of the melanin receptor, something in the hair follicles stop reproducing. And so the hair starts to grow. That's what it is. Stress can speed that up. Overworking can speed that up. But ultimately, it's our belief systems about the amount of time that we have left, our belief systems about the amount of health that we have left, that tells the body, oh, okay, well, you know.
I could see that difference from going from one extreme of being like, I have all the time and really relaxed, to being like hyper-focused on time and like, I don't have enough time. I'm super busy. So that was another thought I had with that today about aging, about all these ways that we can affect our reality. And I love that you help people with that and talking about abundance and money game and letting people to change their lives and take action. How has this changed your life and your clients' lives?
So I came back from literally suicide. So this literally saved my life, full stop. As in, you know, the first time I lost everything, I dusted my shoulders off. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do it again. And I was still full of beans and I was young. I hadn't been tested by life and I still thought I knew everything. I thought I've cracked the code of the universe. I had this model that I worked on with called Vision, Purpose, Faith, Gratitude. You have very clear vision. You act with purpose every day. You do all that you can that day to move towards that vision. You have faith, certainty that it's going to show up, and you live life with an attitude of gratitude. And that worked until it stopped working. Like I said, I now understand I wasn't able to hold the frequency and I didn't have the habits and behaviors that supported it staying. But at the time, the second time, like I was like, oh my God, I was faced with the reality that I don't know everything. I haven't cracked the code of the universe. And I came to understand how much of my identity was tied up in what I'd created. Mm-hmm. And so all the work that I teach now comes from the journey that I went on after that. Incidentally, I didn't go off to go and crack the code so I could rebuild my life. I actually was determined to work out what was wrong so I could pull off suicide without failing. I didn't want to fail, have a failed suicide attempt. That's all I was committed to. Mm-hmm. When I go for this, I'm not going to fail and be that loser that couldn't even take his own life after everything else. So I went on this journey, and what ended up happening was I spent so much time pummeling my brain with positive content because I was reading these books, I was listening to these tapes, I was doing this research to find out, what had I missed? What had I gotten wrong? Or what was BS? You know, The Secret came out around that time. I was like, see, this is the kind of stuff that caused problems, like getting angry at everyone. But I was really trying to understand where everything had gone wrong. And what ended up happening was that my inner environment got changed because I didn't have time for BS conversations. I didn't have time for fringe. I wasn't like off. I just was committed to understanding this thing. And then it was years later that I realized, oh, crap, I'm like rebuilding my life now. Oh, I'm actually happy. Oh, well, this little business that I started is now doing really well. Mm-hmm. And then I started to backtrack and start looking at, and it was about 2014 when I was like, oh, this is actually working out here. There'd been some growth, there'd been some success, but that's when I was really like, oh, my God, there is actually something here. And I'd been trying to put my thoughts down for another reason, more a memoir. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to change this and make it understanding a system to support the steps that I'd gone through initially for me. And it was, you know, 2017, 2018 when it really came about that I wanted to share that with people. And that's why I do what I do now. But the effect of this content on my life has been saving it. and the effect it's been on other people's lives. We've had people that have found love, found purpose, create millions of dollars, apply the same principles and create what we now call in our community the seven-figure life, not just the money, but, you know, the health and the quality of life to match.
So you just talked about you help some people find purpose, but you also speak on the pointlessness of purpose.
Yes.
Could you expound on that a little bit?
Okay. So one of the key ideas that we learn about in the quantum model is infinite possibility, right? Schrodinger's cat. He's dead and alive at the same time until we open the box and he's one or the other, right? For all of us to have one thing that we're here to do, one all-towering defining purpose, we just basically said that the quantum model is BS and there's not infinite possibility. By saying there's only one thing to do, and what I see personally is people get so caught up trying to find that one thing that they're alive for that they don't actually end up living their life.
Yeah.
Or they find something that really makes them feel alive, but then they don't actually do anything with it. So my whole thing is the pointlessness of purpose in and of itself as an idea, when actually we can step into a new purpose on a daily basis. That's what I actually teach people to do, to keep moving through what is my purpose here and now? What's my purpose for this day? What's my purpose in this thing? As in, what am I called and drawn to doing that expands me and adds to, you know, humanity as a whole? Not what's my glorious God-given purpose. I think our glorious God-given purpose is to live our lives and to experience everything that life has to offer. But this one thing that we're here to do, Simon Sinek wrote, start with one, then had to write another book, Find Your Why, because people got so caught up with this whole why thing that nothing was happening. Nobody was moving forward. Businesses were stuck. People weren't moving forward. So for me, when I say people finding their purpose, it's coming to a place where they just love life full stop, and daily, intradaily, weekly, monthly, yearly, are moving towards what lights them up and brings them to a place of contribution.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And it makes me think of what some shamans talk about, how they can read the energy codes and they can see different versions of your higher self, different paths you can take. And I think that's why I got really into meditating, because I felt like when I was meditating once, I did a future self meditation and it felt very powerful. And I saw everything. I saw like my future self, my house, like me podcasting, talking to myself. It was before I even started podcasting. And I was having a conversation with myself about, yeah, I was in New York and I was podcasting last week. But it's interesting because even after that experience, it unlocked like this idea that, yeah, I could do that, but I could do other things too. And there's, when we think about this whole idea of the quantum field and manifesting, it's like, it just gives you the ability and the power to really step up and create the reality around you, create your life. And I feel like so many people don't do that. They're just kind of sitting and stuck, and they let other things happen to them without really creating their reality. So what were some of the experiences you've had with creating your reality? We can get really esoteric. And if you've had any experiences like that, where you were kind of felt like, this is what I need to do next, or this is the next step.
What's really interesting is that the work I do now, I walked away from a multi seven figure year business to do what I do now, because I had a similar experience to what you just described. I was in the mountains of Santa Fe, New Mexico. It was February 6 something in the morning, really cold. I had hat, scarf, gloves, face mask, hot pockets in my pockets and in my gloves, thermal gloves, long johns, couple of layers on. It was cold, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm off doing this walking meditation. I was at a meditation retreat. And the really interesting thing was that wasn't like the greatest retreat for me. Nothing really popped. It's like, kind of bimbled along. And so I went, the retreat actually finished. It was the morning after. I said, I'm just going to go and do like a walking meditation before we go home back to the UK. I was still living in the UK at the time. And had the meditation, doing the thing, and then boom, it was like this whole body, visceral, virtual reality experience of me in the future experiencing what it would be like if I just let go of the excuses that I was telling myself about why I couldn't just step up and do what I do now, and just stepped up and did it. I closed my business down. Like, I just literally walked away from millions and millions, took down the website, closed off the email address, and just packed up my house and went around the world teaching. So I had very much a visceral experience. And the funny thing is, since then, you know, I've done a lot of work building my intuitive abilities and crazy work with shamans on astrals and stuff like that. I could do past
life
stuff
love
for
it.
People. And, you know, I did all that groovy stuff. And you know what? At no point has anyone been able to say anything other than, oh, it looks like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Oh, it looks like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And for me, the supposed to be doing is a little limiting, but I know this, I wouldn't want to do anything else. And anytime I felt like I should be doing something else, I'd be okay with that. And I'd go and do something else. Mm-hmm. But this, every day I find myself called and pulled back to still continuing to do this work that I get to do. It lights me up. It fills me. I'm literally being nourished by this conversation I'm having with you guys. And I love that I get to do that. So I work with speaking agents and different agencies and stuff like that. And they're like, well, you know, do you have like a minimum people you want to speak to? I was like, oh, I don't care. If there was two people that were going to listen to a podcast, and I've been there when we've done live streams where they didn't really have an audience, like two or three people are watching live and maybe 10 more people are going to watch it later. And for me, I don't give a fudge. I love having the opportunity to be in this space to share this information with people. For me, that's what matters. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. I love that. It's like you're just living exactly the way you want to, doing what lights you up. And that's how I feel too. I love doing this podcast because I love learning from people like you and having conversations like this. One second, I have like COVID or something.
Nope.
I'm coughing like I have COVID, but I don't.
We'll rebuke it. It's really funny. Even like this whole, we're not going to get into this, so you guys get blacklisted or anything, but like even down to like my groups online have had no problems with all the COVID censoring. I've had no issues with that because I've created a bubble where that doesn't exist. I just happen to live in a country where the restrictions haven't been all that bonkers. I live down in Mexico. And even if it did turn into a problem, you know, some of the less advertised medication that even Oxford University are doing research into now to test the efficacy of, I've got a pharmacist on speed dial. So even if my family or one of my close friends or a neighbor did get unwell, I'd be in a position where we could get medicine to support them.
What you started off with, and I think it'd be really cool if you could explain, like dive deeper into what it looks like to hold the emotion. Because I have a little bit of an idea with that. I feel like the one time recently that manifestation has really worked for me was, it was October. It was Libra season, which is my season. And I was just very, I don't know, happy, believing, like confidence, belief in myself, not thinking this isn't going to happen. It was just more like, yeah, I can manifest easily. So I was curious if that is the way you see it as well, or if you see it differently.
Yeah. So emotions and beliefs work. There's a symbiotic relationship between the two, because the emotions that we have is going to limit the kind of thoughts that we can have, which is going to limit the kind of beliefs we can move into. But then beliefs also feeds back into the kind of emotions that we're going to feel. So there's like this loop. So when it comes to the emotions, this is what I just offer people to look at. In your mind's eye, see yourself in the finished vision of what you want to create and ask yourself, how do I feel in that vision? Right? Okay. Not how would I feel, not how might I feel. How do I feel in that vision of me in this finished thing? And you don't need a laundry list. Anything from 3 to 5 is as much as you need, because you only need to be able to hold them for about 60 seconds at a time in a concentrated effort. So sitting in that vision of the thing, really sitting with it and just paying attention to how your body feels. What are those emotions? That's the code. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, because the brain doesn't know the difference between an imagined situation and a quote unquote real one, it's all electrical impulses. You being in that vision and holding those emotions is actually reprogramming your belief system to actually support it being real, because your mind will be able to create something that it sees first. It just normally that happens so quickly that we don't have a conscious relationship to it. So get clear on what you want. I love to teach people to create heart and mind coordination in order to do that, and to tap into their higher self in order to create that intention. And then when you've got that vision, it's just, how do I feel? Not looking, not from the outside looking in, but three-dimensionally, like virtual reality, in the thick of it, when I'm in the experience, my seats behind the car, if I'm standing on the stage, if I'm signing the books at my book signing, if I'm there helping people hands-on, how do I feel in my body? Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay. I can think back to the times I've manifested things and I've intentionally, I'm like, I'm going to manifest this, and it's happened. Versus the times where it hasn't happened. And that's the exact process that I would do, like barely studying for my RD exam and then envisioning myself as an RD, feeling it, being excited, seeing myself like all the people I'm going to help, and seeing myself like holding the paper that I pass the exam and being all excited and how I'm going to celebrate once I pass the test. I've done that with the house we're about to move into. And I've done that with like a Louis Vuitton bag I wanted, all these different situations. But then there's been certain things like launching a course where it's been hard to hold that emotion, or maybe I do that, but then later it's like visualizing the opposite, you know, then you get into the, no one's going to sign up. I even had a dream like no one's going to sign up. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something as well, that it's like, if we can train ourselves and work more on those beliefs. And I like that you talk about that with dreaming with your eyes wide open. So I think if people want to learn more about how to do that, they're going to have to buy your books and listen to your podcast.
Well, the cool thing is that Money Game is a really easy one to get through. There's no fluff in there. It's not loaded with, you know, puffy stories. It's let's get into it. Let's look at how this works, how to do it and why it works. And here's what you do to actually practice this so that you can get the experience with it and build the evidence for your mind that it is actually real and possible. And then tells you, okay, now you can go and apply this to your career, go and apply it to the business that you want to start or that you want to build and grow. So it's a very short book, very easy to get into. That's why I would really suggest if people want to see, get hands-on, do that. Once you've started practicing with that, then go and read Stepping Beyond Intention and understand more of the story and the mechanisms behind it. But if you want to get in and get it done, Money Game is the book that you want.
Awesome. And we would love to know how you stay high vibe. And, you know, I always put a disclaimer, like, we can't always be high vibe 100% of the time. But, you know, what are those resources, routines that help you stay high vibe?
You know, I've really been focused not even so much on being quote unquote high vibe, but being able to experience high vibes and low vibes and still be groovy.
Yeah.
That's where my real, like my journey has been. It's not judging, giving myself compassion, right? Taking time out to remember that I'm human and I'm not going to be up all the time, but really doing things that are going to nourish my spirit, nourish my emotions and nourish my mind. So I love meditation, obviously, breath work, great. Practice Kundalini yoga, but sometimes it's just playing with the baby, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it's going for a walk on the beach. Sometimes it's just watching some like a silly movie that makes me laugh. You know, I'd really encourage people to fill yourself up and have compassion with yourself and not fighting when the lower emotions come in. Because like you said, you're going to be at different points of the spectrum in different times. True high vibe for me is not even looking at where I am on the thing. It's just being cool no matter what happens.
Exactly. I love how you describe that and bringing that message for everyone to have self-compassion. And I do kind of think of high vibe as like a high vibe life, like what we're talking about, like you're creating your reality, but there's no way we could actually feel high vibe 100% of the time. So I love that. It's like, if we're not, like, it's normal, and just have compassion for yourself. Awesome. And how can listeners follow you?
Best place to find everything about me is my website, dreamwithdan.com. I've got social media links. I'm everywhere. I'm on Clubhouse, Twitter.
Instagram, I've seen you on Clubhouse. Oh my gosh. I haven't been on Clubhouse in forever, but I want to again now.
Yeah, we're actually going to be doing a regular weekly room called Abundant Conversations. We'd love for you to come and join the panel for that. We'll get Definitely. You some information about it. But yeah, we're going to be doing that every Tuesday at 6 Eastern, like an hour and a half, couple of hours. So we're doing that. But yeah, Instagram, I'm live on Instagram at least two or three times a week, Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays. And we do a show on Facebook once a week as well, Do It With Dan Live. So we're always live, but the information about all of that is on my website. We've got an events page and stuff.
Well, thank you so much. This was an amazing conversation. I could talk about this all the time. So we have loved having you on.
Thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
If you loved this episode, subscribe and stay notified for new episodes every Tuesday. Leave us a review with what you liked or what you want more of. And don't forget, stay high vibe.
Do you know these three things are sabotaging your ability to live your high vibe life? First is living in disconnection, which basically means walking around with no awareness of your body, emotions, or values. And second is letting negative self-talk run the show in your brain. That's just going to make you doubt your potential and stop you from going after your dreams. Finally, it's not having any supportive coping practices or self-care that doesn't take hours or cost tons of money. Because when you're living in chronic stress at home or work, the last thing that feels accessible is a spa day or a meditation retreat.
We have personally struggled with all of these things, and that's why we created the Body Deck. This affirmation card deck has 77 intentionally designed beautiful cards to help you address all three of these high vibe killers in just a couple minutes a day. These affirmations will help you tune into your body and your inner world, practice positive self-talk, and best of all, it's super portable and affordable. For only $33, benefit from the transformative practice of affirmations anywhere you go.
So if you're ready to stop the self-sabotage and start being the highest version of yourself, you'll definitely want to get your hands on the Body Deck Affirmation Cards. Head over to Soulea.co. That's Soulea.co to get the Body Deck Affirmation Cards today. You can also find the link in the show notes.